Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get an ad-free edition of the HLS podcast, plus get a weekly bonus episode recapping the national picture, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. Again, that is patreon.com/ndtex. You will also get some other exclusive content in the form of posts every week as well. So make sure to join our Patreons, including new Patreons Stacy F. and Shane P. No, not the other Shane that podcasts with me. This is a different one. But make sure you join them as well as all of our other Lowell Patreons. Thank you all for your support. Well, hello and welcome back to another edition of the HLS Picks Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me Andy Tex. And as always, you can subscribe to this podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come join us in Discord. That is our live chat channel over at herloyalsons.com/discord. Make sure to head over to twitch.tv/herloyalsons Thursday, 9 p.m. Central for that sim action. And of course, you can always find us at herloyalsons.com for at least a little month or so. With that said, time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, my friend?
Ryan, we're standing pat. The fucking prophecy, as it was written, so it shall be. But my preferred footballing team did not lose to Kansas for the first time at home ever. So I'm feeling pretty good. How about you?
Yes, that is always good that you don't lose to Kansas. I'm doing all right. Last time we talked, at least virtually. I am much more sober now. I'm much more awake.
This might be the first Wednesday that we're coming into where I have had more sleep in the last 4 days than you.
This could be fair. This is a fair point. Well, as Eddie alluded to, we did stand pat on our little extra life bet. There's still $200 on the line going over to GameAndForHaven.com. We both went 6-5-1. Yep, the push came back into play. Eddie still has the two-game lead at 78-56-3. I at 76-58-3. And yes, we got a whole fresh new 12-pack. This one, Eddie, I always forget that this week is really squeezing some blood out of the stone because there's a whole lot of FCS bullshit going on this week.
There's some bad games, but the like our slate is very good, and yeah. There are a couple of other games that we don't have on here that even if they don't have ranked matches, are still very interesting if for nothing else than good old rivalry's sake. But
yeah, so I mean,
there's a lot of fun to be had here.
There's some fun to be had here. I was just very surprised when I was scrolling through. I was like, oh dear God, it's that time of year again. But of course, next week, rivalry week. Oh, buddy. Oh, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. But like Eddie said, there is a fairly solid slate ahead of us. We got our usual 12 games, and I got to find a way to make up two somehow. I am running out of time in a hurry. So,
Meanwhile, I just keep looking above me, waiting for the other shoe to drop, because neither one of us has had our just complete death week yet. And I've been burned too many times. It still feels like it's coming.
Hey, we just got to keep doing what we're doing and hope for the best, man. All right. Well, with all that said, sir, are you ready to do this?
Let's go, baby.
All right. We start off with 11 a.m. over on ABC. And Big Noon Saturday got screwed out of this one as Michigan State and Ohio State face off in a matchup of the top 10. I almost called him top five, but I forgot Cincinnati's got that spot right now. The line is Ohio State by 19 at home. 68.5 is the total. Eddie, who do you got?
Ryan, that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
It's not enough. No one in the country has given up more passing yards than Michigan State. The closest, Hawaii. back about 150 yards. It is worth noting that Hawaii has played one more game, so they've had more time to let more yards go. Look, Ohio State's got the sixth best passing offense in the game. C.J. Stroud has improved throughout the season. You've got stud receivers all over the field. This is just a bad, bad matchup for Sparty. Meanwhile, you've got Kenneth Walker on the other side, who's been fantastic. But man, he's taken a lot of shots this year. He has been a workhorse of a workhorse for Sparty. And Ohio State's got some hitters. I think this one gets ugly. Give me the Buckeyes.
I'm on the Buckeyes as well. Like you said, if anything, last week should have been the final warning for the rest of the nation that they'll go ahead and take care of the business, and they'll do it while put up at a 50 burger if they have to. The other thing that's kind of bonkers, this line on Sunday night was also 19. And so far, the entire world is on Sparty. And we have not budged since Sunday. 77% of the tickets and 78% of the money. Man, that lines up very well for disaster. It almost seems like nobody learned their lesson from last week. Look, Sparty's a decent team. They're pretty good, but that logjam in the Big Ten East is about to start taking care of itself real quick. And let's be honest, let's not forget, and I think a lot of people did forget, this is a Michigan State team that should have lost to Nebraska. They've had a lot of squeakers, to say the least. So go ahead, give me the Buckeyes as well. Here's an interesting one, Eddie. Wake Forest and Clemson. With Clemson as a 4.5-point favorite over Wake. 56.5 is the total. And it's real interesting that right now a lot of action is on Wake. 67% of the tickets, 75% of the money. You know what? We've said for a while that the big thing with Clemson is that they get too big a respect on the spread. Lots of double digits or near double digit spreads with an offense that can't put a whole lot together. Look, Wake Forest, I know, can get spicy. Clemson's defense can actually put up a little bit of a fight. And they've actually, you know, they haven't gotten it together, but they seem more functional, I think is the best way to put it. Just a little bit more functional. I'm going to go ahead and fade the public. There's only been one point of movement right now. Doesn't feel like there's a whole hell of a lot of catching up, and there's nearly 2,000 bets on this one. Against my better judgment, I'll go ahead and take the Tigers and fucking Ted Lasso wannabe, or everybody wants to make him Ted Lasso Dabo. I don't feel good about it, but I feel it's a safe play. Who you got, Eddie?
Wow. I'm very, very surprised. So much so that I kind of want to flip my pick. I looked at the same betting numbers you did, and it was part of why I also went with Ohio State on the last game. My entire notes for this game are, we don't follow principles because they're easy.
Exactly.
I hate this fucking pick. They are getting Shipley back, which has been a huge help. He played last week a little bit. Looks much better. I think that's going to be a big, big help. Man, I don't want to do this, but like you said, too many people are on Wake. It's funny, if you look at the Plus, they have this as an 11.8 win. A lot of that, I think Bill Connolly said by this point in the year that 30% of that formula still takes into account preseason projections. It gets phased out as the year goes on, so some of that is still what we expected Clemson to be. And we also found out today that Justin Ross, done for the year, he's having surgery and he's going to the draft. He said, fuck all this, which
I don't blame
fair.
Him.
Fair. Makes sense. I bet he wishes he had done that already, but
yep.
Yeah, I'm nothing if not a man of principle. And sometimes that's a hard thing to be, but damn it. Give me Clemson.
It's really hard. I don't like this. I don't like making this pick.
I'm glad that you're on it with me.
And we'll go down together on this one, yeah, if we have exactly. to.
The thought of not losing a point while on Clemson makes me feel way better on this pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a habit of just walking into the public picks and saying, oh, no, I know better. The public's got this one. This line doesn't quite stink, but it definitely feels trappish. It's like, go ahead, take away Daria, please. No, I ain't gonna do it. Anyways, let's move on to Big Noon Saturday, where Iowa State takes on Oklahoma, who is a 4-point favorite at home. 60.5 is the total. Eddie, who are you on?
Look, before we get to the pick, we need to discuss who is coming into this game with more loser energy. On one side, you have Oklahoma, who lost to Baylor. No shame in that. Baylor's a very good team this year, especially at Waco. But Lincoln Riley was bitching and moaning about somebody running up the score. Let me repeat. Lincoln Riley, head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners.
Never been known to run up the score on anybody.
Of course not. And let's not even just fit this to Lincoln Riley's tenure at Oklahoma. Think of the history of Oklahoma and Baylor.
Right?
If anyone has ever had a reason to go for an asshole field goal at the end of the game as a fuck you, it's Baylor.
Absolutely.
So that they're coming, that Lincoln Riley would be bitching and moaning about a field goal is fucking pathetic. And in this corner, we have
Campbell,
Iowa.
Thank you, Campbell, for giving us content.
We have Iowa State, who just a heartbreaker of a loss to lose by a 62-yard field goal. That stings. That sucks.
That really sucks.
That's going to hurt. But Matt Campbell, in a press conference earlier this morning, somebody was asking a question about, you know, y'all came in with conference championship expect. Oh, no, sir. Matt Campbell cuts him off mid-sentence and goes, I never said that. I never thought we were going to be conference champions. I never had that as a goal. I want us to be the most together team we can be. Shut the fuck up, you dweeb. You absolute clown. No wonder you're not actually getting hired for big jobs. It turns out you're a fucking preschool teacher trying to get people to fucking hold hands, not win football games. You know, you contrast that with the Kirby Smart halftime speech that got leaked against Florida, where he's like, don't worry about them talking shit. Break them. Break them emotionally. Break them physically. Make them not want to play football ever again. Now that's a fucking football coach.
Yep.
Now we have to pick this game. I don't know what to do with Oklahoma at this point. I really don't. And so we're going to turn to our principals.
Okay.
The numbers right now, only 39% of the tickets, but a very nice 69% of the money is on Iowa State. Somebody knows something that I don't know. I'm going to go with the big money. Give me the clones.
Well, Eddie, I am not going with the big money. We got our first disagreement here because I am going to stick with one of my principles, and that is Caleb Williams at home is functional. He has gone on the road twice. He has shat the bed twice, but he comes back home immediately after said bed shitting, and then everything just seems to be okay back in Soonerland. And I think Iowa State is bringing in the big loser energy. Like, look, Lincoln Riley just got pissed. He got pants. Like, he was just mad it was done to him. So that's why he was pissed off. Is it big whiner loser energy? Of course it is. But he was whining about getting it handed to him. Now he's pissed. Campbell, on the other hand, is saying, look, my guys may want to win championships, but sir, not me. And you made the perfect point. He cut the reporter off to make sure. It's like, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that championship evil on me. I'm glad that came through. Hey, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
So, yes, absolutely. I'm not taking Iowa State. I would be so pissed if I was one of his players. Like, really? You're throwing me under the bus because I wanted to win a title? Dude, you had people picking you as a dark horse in the playoff, man.
Yeah.
Saying this was the year.
This was supposed to be the best year of Iowa State football in history.
Nope.
So, Seneca Wallace didn't die for this, goddammit.
Yeah, so go ahead and give me the Sooners at home. It's been working for me well so far. I did see the nice percentage of the money. But you know what? The line's actually come down slightly, almost a full 3 points. So
it makes
me feel a little bit better.
I don't feel, again, this is a principal play that I don't feel great about, but everything you said makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I hope Caleb Williams fixes himself right now. Disclaimer, as in, let me tell you how this goes wrong for me. If Lincoln Riley is playing quarterback carousel again, then, oh God, all bets are off. And I will be losing this pick in a hurry. It's very funny. Spencer Rattler had to come in off the bench against Baylor. Because I'm telling you, Caleb, I don't know what it is, but when he can't play in Lawrence, I'm like, there ain't no way in a big game he's playing well at Baylor. So
yeah, and I mean, it's not really something to give someone credit for because it's your fucking job. But like, Rattler did not quit on the season and immediately transfer and just pout. Like he came in and did his job and did his best. So there are a lot of people who might not have done that.
This is very true. All right. We can only do that so much longer. Not only are we shutting down, but the SEC on CBS, boy, it's going to be short-lived. It's almost out the door, too.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah. It's on ESPN, isn't it?
So, yeah, there's a couple more weeks left, and to help send it off, one of those weeks is going to be Arkansas. Remember when they were one of the best teams in the SEC West?
It was fun.
Well, now they're a 21-point dog on the road to Alabama. Yeah, that is a big ill. And this is another one of those lines where there's a whole lot of lines, and I think Vegas has finally caught up with a whole lot of shit right now because I am looking at more of these lines of, God, I do not like this. What I do like is that it moved up from 20. And not that I think Arkansas...
You gonna do it?
I'm gonna do it. I'm calling the hogs on this one. And it's mostly, it's not because I'm convinced Alabama's bad. It's just that in the big spread games, I mean, we're talking a full 3 touchdowns here. They have done it before. It's not like they haven't done it. It just feels a hell of a lot like too many points. This team can cause some issues. They have a mobile quarterback that's always given Saban fits in the past. So we'll see what actually happens on this one. I don't like the current trend of, let me see here, 1, 2, yep, that is 4 spreads in a row Arkansas hasn't covered, so I don't like that, but we'll still roll with it. Alabama's gotten some big numbers. They've started to cover some of those big numbers, but they have been known to where once you get up to 3 to 4 touchdowns, like I said, it's about a coin flip either way. Right now, the action kind of feels like that too. That's a little heavy on Bama, not that much to freak me out, but it's that key number. It going up to that key number is what's making me want to take Arkansas here. I'm hoping they find whatever magic they had at the beginning of the season, and they just do what they can to keep it close, maybe get a little backdoor cover action here, because Bama's defense has looked somewhat suspect, and I say that in that tone because they're still really good. Let's be honest here. They're not awful, but I think they can cough up enough to make this, not close. Barely covering on a 21-point spread is not close. But, yep, give me Arkansas. Who do you got, Eddie?
I'd love to take Arkansas. I really would. I really like Sam Pittman. I like what he's doing with that team. KJ Jefferson is fantastic. It's a very likable team. You mentioned that, you know, maybe they've got enough left in the tank to pull this one off, cover off. I think they used every last drop of wampum they had last week at LSU. I would have said, normally I would say, I don't know if you watched the game, but I know you didn't watch the game because you were a sleepy boy at that point.
Yeah, I had to catch up on highlights for games that mattered. That was not one of them.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal game to watch, though. It was incredibly fun. Arky played their ass off to go down and get the golden boot in Baton Rouge, which is not something they do very often. But I think that was sort of the last emotional gasp they had. That was the adrenaline let you lift the car, and then you can't walk for like the next 4 days. Couple that with the fact that Nick Saban's looking at the calendar, and he knows it's murder or clock at this point. I don't like where this is going for Arkansas.
Look ahead, Auburn.
Without as we're about to talk about, without Bo Nix anymore. Nah, I ain't.
Maybe that's an advantage for Auburn.
You know what? That's possible.
All right. Well, Eddie, let's talk about the Ponies.
Ponies.
Facing off against Cincinnati. This game at 2:30 in God's time zone on ESPN. Cincy is an 11.5 point favorite as the number 5 team in the nation. Total is 65. Who do you got, Eddie?
I said the last pick what my heart wanted to do versus what my head wanted to do. The universe is testing me. And God damn it, I'm a man of principle. I'm going to take the Bearcats, and here's why, Ryan. 25% of the tickets are on the Bearcats. That's it. A quarter of the bet so far think the Bearcats can get it done. Once again, a very nice 69% of the money is on Cincinnati. I love the Ponies. I think they have the ability to score points. And obviously, Cincinnati hasn't been particularly enamored with covering as of late. But you've got to think that Luke Fickell's like, look, boys, bad shit is coming. The universe is aligning against us. We need to beat the shit out of somebody to keep our spot. And they started to turn it on late last week. And I think they're going to do the same. Because while the Ponies can score, they can also give up quite a few points as well. So I hate to do it. I'd love to see the Ponies pull it off, but I don't think it's going to happen. Give me the Bearcats.
All right, I feel better about this now. I got to go Bearcats too. That disparity is too much. Like that's even more so than we were talking about earlier. 25% of the tickets, yet that much of the nearly 70% of the money? Are you fucking kidding me? Not only that, as you pointed out, look, SMU can put up some points, but man, when they face teams with the pulse, it gets bad. Here's the other thing that's bad. You said they could score points, right, Eddie?
I did.
They didn't cover against Navy.
It's true. I remember that very well because I had a decent little sum on that game, and I was very displeased with that result.
Yeah, they're a really schizophrenic team, and which is funny because Cincy is as well, but only in okay, they're probably going to win, but are they going to cover type of way? And yeah, look, Cincy has not covered the last four spreads, but also their last four spreads have all been in the 20s.
True.
Against, well, I can't really say better defenses.
I mean, they aren't particularly worse, though.
Yeah, I know.
The other thing that helps us both out, though, is you've still got the whole, is Sonny Dykes about to leave in the middle of the night to go sleep with the neighbor TCU?
Oh, God. If the iron skillet couldn't get even more violent.
I'm saying, man.
Have that happen.
Throw in some infidelity like that. Ooh, baby. Get that telenovela on film. Let's go.
Yeah, but they have lost to Memphis and Houston recently, and it hasn't looked as good. And that happened after just an absolute curb stomping of Tulane. It's like, all right, Ponies got back after not covering against Navy. Then you drop two in a row. They beat up on a hapless UCF team. The other thing going against SMU, they are on the road. And at some point, Eddie, I think you're right. The switch has to come on, and okay, we are now just a couple weeks away from the rankings that matter. The logjam is about to get cleared up behind us. Oregon's got a couple of tough games. Let's try to make something work here. Maybe somebody gets spicy, scares Ohio State. Maybe Oregon finally drops one, which we will get to later. So they gotta make the statement. They gotta do it, especially with Notre Dame continuing to win. And if Notre Dame continues to do the not giving up touchdowns trick, boy, that win's going to look better and better and better. So they got to put it together. I'm going to head with the Bearcats as well. One more before break, and that is a little Big Ten matchup over on ABC at the 2:30 slot. Nebraska and Wisconsin. Ooh, a total of 42 and a 9-point favorite are the Badgers. Man, Wisconsin has really just turned this son of a bitch around. It's been kind of incredible. And we keep talking about those principles, Eddie. 77% of the money's on Nebraska, while 65% of the tickets are on Wisconsin. My initial reaction to this was Nebraska's probably just going to win this by, or lose this, excuse me, on a last possession game, right? This is going to be another stupid 3-7 point loss. That fits in real nice with a 9-point spread. That's really what Nebraska's been doing this whole time. Scott Frost has been, it's been interesting to figure out what he's trying to do, but he's got his contract restructured. He's going to try to be proven this. So I'm going to go with what's been consistent, and that's Nebraska just barely losing in frustrating fashion. And a team like Wisconsin that will very much love to take the air out of the ball, seems like it could go that way. So give me the Huskers. Who do you got, Eddie?
I think I misheard you because you threw me for a loop there. It's 35% of the tickets and 77% of the money are on Nebraska.
Yeah, I said
that is.
Yeah, I went to I started with the money on Nebraska and said 65% of the tickets are on Wisconsin.
Because I'm sitting here looking at my notes and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, of all games, is this going to violate your principle?
No, I was like, this was like the clearest one I had.
No, right.
I do want to point out for our listeners, because this is an educational podcast first, you mentioned the over-under is 42. Do not get caught of thinking of Wisconsin early season and Nebraska early season.
Yep.
Look at what Wisconsin has done on offense the last couple weeks, and Nebraska as well. This total is way too low. I'm going to be pounding this over. I think they fucked this line up, or they're just assuming people are like, oh, ha-ha, Wisconsin can't score and haven't been paying attention the last 3 weeks.
87% of the tickets on the over right now.
Uh-oh. Okay. Maybe not.
Educational podcast. Let me save you from yourself.
Good. I appreciate that. I had not looked at that number yet. While Wisconsin has woken up on offense, and look, Nebraska's on the road, you pretty much have to go ahead and assume that you're going to get an Adrian Martinez pick six. It's just a given. We know what this Nebraska team is. All they do is show up and lose one score games. You're giving me 9 points? Cool. There's no construct you can make of one score that gets you 9 points. So, yeah, I will also ride with the Huskers as well.
I really wish I had fired this off early when it opened at 10.5.
Yeah, that felt a lot better.
Oh, my.
That's it may nice still bounce number. Back. Beauty of it is only Wednesday.
All right. Well, we got six more games, including a matchup for the ACC future, a bowless Auburn, and a very, very visually pretty game, at least on the uniforms. All that after this. All right, we are back, and it is the battle for the ACC soul, Eddie. You mentioned this, that this was the big game that Virginia was looking forward to.
I did.
So they had to take it easy, and Notre Dame wasn't as important. And I was thinking about that and laughing at about 1 a.m. in the morning when the commentators were basically bringing it up. Even when the night was over, Eddie, I was still laughing like, that son of a bitch, he nailed it. Damn it. He had it.
Not my first rodeo, baby.
He had it. And my cynicism got to me. We did flip roles, and it bit me in the ass. But anyways, 2:30 on ESPN2 over in God's time zone. Pitt is a 14.5-point favorite to take the ACC. What are they, Coastal? I don't even keep up with it. I don't even know.
Who cares?
This is the conference
nerds.
This is to go play in the conference title, basically. This is what's going to determine it. Who do you got, Eddie?
I wish that I had the cat snapping meme that I use on Twitter from time to time. Too many points. I am not trusting Pittsburgh with more than 2 touchdowns. Throw in the fact that you've got a vast majority of the world on Pittsburgh right now. And I think you're going to get Brennan Armstrong back because they know this is their one clear shot at an ACC title. Give me the Hoos.
So it's really interesting that you bring up Armstrong, because there were two forms of research I did on this game. It was the same Google search. One was reading the headlines, and then the other was actually reading what was within those headlines about Armstrong. And basically, Bronco was tipping his hand because he went into some weird word salad-y quotes, but he was saying that, you know, he's hopeful he'll be back, but he mentioned that, we would hope for it to be second to second, but it's probably more like hour to hour right now. So maybe not day to day. I don't know when you transferred. Like, he went through all that. So what you're saying is he's not really day to day, and you stopped yourself because you were tipping your hand that your boy's going to be back.
Yeah.
And look, Virginia, I really think it was interesting listening to the Inside the Garage podcast this week. Because all the defensive boys on that podcast were saying they had no clue what the fuck Virginia was doing. I don't think Virginia knew what they were doing. They said it was
not like a, oh man, they came with some stuff that we did not scheme for. It was a, what the fuck is this?
And it was funny, like the one walk-on guy that's on there, he's like, yeah, I watch it on TV, and basically the commentary team called him out every time the guy got in a role and they did some stupid trick play to completely derail them. So it was really, and look, they were also missing Tua LaPapa as well with concussion, which I don't know if they're getting him back or not, but those are two big weapons that were gone for them. And Pitt. Oh, Pitt. 14 and a half? No.
Can't do it.
No. Did anybody witness them? I mean, they had North Carolina so dead to rights. I mean, we were another one. We were on the right side of that one.
I think we were too.
And then the overtime bullshit happened. Look, Pitt is not to be trusted. They are too close to the sun. Those wax wings are about to start melting right here, right now. 14 and a half fucking points now. Armstrong's back in this game. This is a virtual lock.
Well, not to mention the fact we're talking about Heinz Field in mid-November.
Oh, God.
That's not a place you want to be laying a whole lot of points, because you could get turf monstered at any moment.
Oh, I'm scrolling down to the... Oh, we don't have a wonder. The wind is not predicted to be as strong yet, but it is a crosswind. Keep an eye on that forecast, Eddie. It's perpendicular right now.
Swirling.
keep an eye on that. See if we get a Laramie situation going on here. but yeah, I can't. I was about to take Pitt because I was like, look, we've seen what an offense is without Armstrong. And it did also look like for the Notre Dame game that he was going to try to push himself, because he was out there trying to warm up, hide the wincing and everything. And basically did not, can't do it. Let's wait another week. They're going to pull out all the stops in this one. Look, they could lose by 14, but guess what? That's a cover.
It's cover.
Give me the Hoos. All right, I said there would be a visually appealing game. It's pretty with the uniforms.
It is the most aesthetically pleasing game in all of college football.
And that might be it as far as the uniforms, because this UCLA Southern Cal matchup on Fox at 3 p.m. Central, I don't even know. And you want to talk about principles being tested, Eddie?
Mm-hmm.
They're being tested in the worst way. UCLA is only a 3-point favorite against this hapless Southern Cal team. One, yes, I said one, that line fucking stinks. Stinky, stinky, stinky. Two, as I'm sure you know, Eddie, 81% of the tickets and 91% of the money are on UCLA. It stinks. Everybody's waiting in the shit. I'm just going to back up out here and wonder how in the world Southern Cal's actually going to win this game. Because apparently that's what's going to happen. This feels wrong. It feels dirty. So here I am, back for at least one more week in this godforsaken picks podcast. Notable Southern Cal enthusiasts. Fuck these guys. Who do you got, Eddie?
I'm going to make you feel better, Ryan. I'm going to make you feel better. I don't like this any more than you do. But we know that following your principles is hard.
It's very hard.
And you have to take USC here. But here, you said, I don't know how they're going to win the game. I'm about to tell you how.
Oh, is your boy?
Jackson Dart. Give me that stupid-ass face paint looking like a Kratos reject, you fucking goober. I love this kid. He's got the start. UCLA is dead before they even take the field.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize he was starting. That does make me feel better.
Yeah, I told you, man.
After whatever bullshit they were doing last week or 2 weeks ago, they're just rotating quarterbacks. Okay. All right. Well, might money line the shit out of that one then. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, this one I know what's going on here, unfortunately. Auburn is a 7.5-point favorite over hapless South Carolina. This is your prime time slot on ESPN, 6:30 in the evening over in God's time zone. Bo Nix is out for the season. Apparently, he busted up his ankle and broke it, was still playing against Mississippi State, which is kind of impressive, one. Kind of dumb, too, because it still didn't matter. He played just fine on bum leg and all, and God, Auburn still just fucking shit the bed. I don't like that they're on the road. I really don't like that most of the public's on them. But I have seen the backup play before. There is a little bit of the backup better than the starter going on here. But, South Carolina is so goddamn bad, Eddie. I can't do it. I can't. This is a somehow they are 500, and I don't get it for the life of me, because this team is just fucking atrocious. Yet somehow they beat Florida. I still don't understand that.
They crushed Florida.
I don't understand how that happened. That's the one gotcha game. They used the bullet. It ain't working. I know Auburn's in a big time look ahead situation here, but I can't do it, man. And you want to know what puts it over the edge for me, Eddie?
What's that?
They couldn't cover against fucking Vanderbilt. They nearly lost to fucking Vanderbilt. We've said it before, and we faded Scar. We're doing it again. War Eagle. Who do you got?
Funny enough, it's that last point that pushed me over the edge. Because I don't. South Cackalack's not good. But I also do not trust Auburn on the road. But like you said, that's more of a Bo Nix thing than anyone else. I'm not going to pretend like I have any fucking clue who Auburn's backup is, but I would certainly believe that it is at least somebody less turnover prone than Bo Nix, especially on the road. But like you said, 7.5 is not that many points. Yeah, there's a little bit of a majority on Auburn, but we're talking under 700 tickets. Like, this is no, everybody's off this game, so I'm not taking too much from that. And I just, look, I'm not going to risk a point taking South Cackalack. I'm not going to do it.
It's a very smart decision.
This is the, like, stay away-est of stay away games in real life. But yeah, I guess give me Auburn.
All right. I just realized I took two in a row, so you'll get two in a row here, Eddie. It ain't going to budge my decisions on either of these, but I got to make sure you pick the game right before Notre Dame.
Fair enough.
All right. Oregon, Utah, a battle for some Pac-12 supremacy here. Oregon trying to hang on to a playoff spot. This will be 6:30 p.m. Central over on ABC. Utah is a 3-point favorite at home. Total is 58.5. Eddie, who do you have?
This is the toughest game on the board for me. I was very surprised that Utah was the favorite. I realized they're at home, and so I guess you're calling it a pick 'em if you take the whole 3-point at home kind of idea. The thing that scares me with Utah is we always think of these Utah teams as having like the best special teams in the country. They have been flat out garbage on special teams all year. If you listen to the Punk Cash, you will hear Robbie and the boys lamenting how bad they are, because that's been like their one true standard throughout the years. That being said, when it comes down to it, we're going to go with what we know. And what we know, 33% of the tickets, 66% of the money. Somebody knows something I don't. Maybe it's that Thibodeau is going to take it easy on this one and save it for the Pac-12 title game. I don't know. But somebody knows something, I'm going to take the Utes.
It feels like at Oregon, I have a feeling out of all the teams right now in playoff contention is the one that's going to get got somewhere. This would be the game. Prime time, ABC. This time it's not the late slot now. They're right there front and center. And Utah has been playing some. They had a rough start to begin the year. They had a real rough start. They put it together since. And they've lost to a good Oregon State team recently, but they've just been winning. The only sin you can count against them besides that Oregon State loss is failing to cover against Arizona. Whatever. A lot of points. Not a team that puts up a lot of points in Utah. I'll forgive them. But yeah, somebody knows something I don't. I was really, really shocked that Oregon was not the favorite. That immediately made me smell something weird. So yeah, I'm leaning into it too, Eddie. Public's going one way. I'm going to go the other. I'm going to go where the money's at. And the money is over at Utah. And it doesn't stink as much as what was the other line we were saying was stinky, stinky. I even forgot at this point. I think it was the Clemson line. The Clemson line. That's the one that stunk. But anyways.
The Cal. Or UCLA. Southern Cal. More.
Oh, everything stinks. Whatever. I'm tired, Eddie. But yeah, go ahead. Give me the Utes. All right. Your nemesis, Eddie.
Yeah, I was very unsurprised with where you stacked this based on how the order of picks usually goes. You transparent cheating fuck.
Look, this is at 7 p.m. in God's time zone in Fox. It is after 6:30 p.m. These games.
Desperate ploys of someone who's never won heads up.
Are in chronicle. Oh, I have won heads up, sir.
You had not.
Mm-hmm. It has happened. We have records.
Official record books do not show a win for you.
10.5 points are Oklahoma State favored against Texas Tech, who you mentioned bombed just an absolute prayer of a 60-plus yard field goal in an upset win. 7 p.m. on Fox. Oklahoma State on the road over in Lubbock. Who you got, Eddie?
Texas Tech is coming into this game without their typical radio crew.
I am glad you're covering this.
Because they felt somewhat rightfully wronged by some calls from officials. And I think the statement that pushed it over the edge was, the Big 12 does not want Iowa State to lose this game. Now, Ryan.
Yes?
You know I am a firm believer that everything is wrestling, all of this is a fucking work, and that it is definitely within the Big 12's power to put in a call to the officials room and say, we're going to need a couple extra flags on the way. There's a slight majority toward Oklahoma State here, but we're under 1,000 bets. I'm not that scared there. Oklahoma State's the only team here that has something to play for. They still got a great path, not only at the Big 12 title, but honestly, they still have a shot at the playoff if they win out. They're covering machines, 8-1 against the number on the year. Now, it is true, a fact that you and I have brought up many, many times is that if you're in Lubbock at night, you probably want to take the points. And I know that, and I see that. And I think that's actually baked into this line because, A, Oklahoma State's, I think their defense is up to number 3 in the country at this point. They just don't give anybody any points. And Texas Tech's defense is, well, it's Texas Tech defense. So they're still going to let you score. So this actually, I think a lot of people would not have been surprised at a 17-point spread. So I think the Lubbock bullshit magic has already been baked in here. So I'm going to go ahead and take Oklahoma State. Scared, though. Don't like it.
Eddie, come here. Come here, my fellow cowboy. I'm riding with Okie State, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Cowboy shit. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to do some cowboy shit here. I still need to watch that pay-per-view. Ruined all my plans getting that drunk, man. I was going to wake up and watch the fucking pay-per-view as soon as I woke up. And no, I had to go catch up on all the fucking football I missed the day before. Oh, man.
It's really good.
Yeah, I know it's really good. So I will watch it. But yeah, you hit on the point that is sending me through. And it is not surprisingly the referee kayfabe. It is the defense. Oklahoma State's defense has probably been the best kept secret in college football this season. They are damn good. And to the point to where I actually am starting to believe they could make the OU game a little spicy, especially with things being a little bit wonky. But yeah, this Texas Tech, you hit your prayer. You got your radio team suspended. It's nothing like making a grand statement like the refs want Iowa State to win and the Big 12 refuses to let anything else happen. And then Tech wins the game. Then your ass gets suspended. Fucking art. Like, there's a football karma that is going to come down here on those tortilla-throwing bastards down in Lubbock. Nah, man. It ain't going to happen. I agree. Look, in Texas Tech at night, that once had a magic. I am not scared of Lubbock at night anymore, Eddie. I hope they're baking it into this line, because I don't think this Texas Tech team... with what head coach? did we forget they fired their head coach not too long ago? I mean,
they did.
There's a whole lot going on here.
They've hired a new one. They have. They know where they're going.
They know where they're going. But oh yeah,
and it wasn't Art Briles, thankfully.
Oh thank Christ!
In maybe the upset of the year.
All right, but yes, look, Oklahoma State's defense is really damn good. I think this is an easy call, and part of the reason this was on there was to make Eddie sweat since it's his nemesis. But I put this on there knowing I wasn't going any other direction but Oklahoma State. So if he had picked against himself and faked himself out, I would have laughed. But there's only one way to go.
I thought about it. It was on the table. Your play was solid. I respect it. I still think you're a cheating little clown, but I respect it.
We have agreed through this entire second half, sir. Let's see if we continue as we are finally at Notre Dame and Georgia Tech, where the Irish are favored by 17.5 points. It's senior day. It will be at 1:30 p.m. on NBC in God's time zone. 59.5 is the total. And I tell you what, for me, this is a super, super easy pick. And it got so much easier today. Eddie, did you catch what happened with the Doak Walker Award?
I did. I think that my tweet summed up my feelings on it quite well.
They snubbed Kyren Williams. I'll let Eddie do all the AKAs later if he's got them queued up. But if there was, I was already confident that Notre Dame would just plaster Georgia Tech. It's senior day. They need to get some snaps for the seniors. This is a team that has barely lost any games. They are, this team has got all kinds of bonds. We see it in the icon videos. They just love playing for each other. They're going to want to run up that score. I know Georgia Tech could get spicy here and there, but it ain't going to happen. We see Marcus Freeman could literally put a defense together with fucking spit and duct tape, because I cannot believe we put Ramon Henderson out at safety and got a pick out of the situation. Just bonkers. Yes, Kyle Hamilton will still be out, but look, they got something, and they showed it against Virginia, and we had a lot of starters out because of the flu. Well, those folks should be healthy and back. They go and eat, and Kyren Williams will be snatching souls. This is a man who was pissed off that he didn't get 200 yards, and he fucking knew it. You are telling me that he is not going to have just a little bit extra coming against Georgia Tech? Oh, dear God. I feel sorry for the Bees. I feel so sorry for you. Souls will be snatched for this crime. Notre Dame, without hesitation, don't care if this line moves upwards. I would love for it to be lower just to make it safer, but I do see Notre Dame winning this one by 3 touchdowns pretty easily. Who do you got, Eddie?
In the interest of full disclosure, because we've been bringing up the numbers pretty much every game so far, mm-hmm. when I looked earlier, it was 82-96 on the Irish. Mm-hmm. Now, it is worth noting the line has moved up 2 points, including over the key number of 17. But I think the more important factor here that we need to discuss is that Georgia Tech is bad at football. They are 2-7, 3-6 against the number. They lost by 11 to Boston College. They lost by 9 to Va Tech. This is a bad team. That's really all there is to it. all the points you made about the defense are very well founded. I think we're going to get pretty much all the toys back with the exception of Kyle. On offense, you know, you brought up the AKAs. Ryan, do you remember the first AKA that I ever gave to Kyren Williams?
Was it the crop top Casanova?
No, that was number three. It all started after the summer where we heard about these spooky, scary things called the murder hornets that were known for just destroying bees. And thus we began with Kyren Williams, a.k.a. the murder hornet, a.k.a. the Tiger King, a.k.a. the crop top Casanova, a.k.a. the marker mauler, a.k.a. the heel slayer, a.k.a. the pickup god, a.k.a. Mr. 1K all day, a.k.a. the alpha dog, a.k.a. the read option rambler, a.k.a. the hokey husher. Now, we haven't added too many AKAs this year. We've only thrown three new ones in. Part of that is because Kyren hasn't gotten the... He has had a phenomenal season, but he hasn't had some of the, like, stunner plays, aside from, obviously...
Except for the ones that were totally stunners.
Yeah, that got him some names. But I think that you nailed it. Kyren seems like the type that bulletin board type material is going to work on. And you look at some of the names on that Doak Walker finalist list.
God.
I honestly think half of them should have no reason to be there above Kai. So, not to mention, I just yesterday got shipment confirmation on the greatest t-shirt of all time from Notre Dame, featuring Kyle Hamilton and Kyren Williams doing a parody of the original Bad Boys movie poster. I can't wait. It should get here this week. Our good friend Andrew Smith from one of the Notre Dame Our Blogger Boys posted his on Twitter earlier today.
It looks fantastic. So
if you haven't seen it, go check it out because it's fucking hot fire. But look, back to the game. Georgia Tech is bad and Notre Dame is good. Georgia Tech has nothing to play for. And talk about a look ahead. You know who they get the week after us?
Georgia!
Fucking Georgia. Those boys do not want to come back from Thanksgiving. They want to go home, man. It's engineering test time. Let us go away, please. Fucking, you could throw Roman Reigns on that team right now. It ain't going to help. So yeah, Irish, easy. I think it's going to be a lot like last week. Just a ho-hum. This is fun. We're beating the shit out of this team. Nothing bad is happening.
I love it. Well, those are the picks. We have another even number of disagreements. Son of a bitch. And it's on, wow.
Only two. Yeah, so only you two. Can't, you, the most you could do is
I
tie.
I can tie. Oh, man. We're getting right up against it. Well, go Arkansas, go Oklahoma.
Yeah, so in the fine fashion of predicting our split, you're getting Oklahoma, I'm getting Alabama.
Probably. Oh, man, that will suck again. If this happens where we just consistently have, like, decent above 500 weeks and we just keep splitting over and over again, this might be the most maddening way for me to ever lose to you.
The best year you've had overall by a fucking mile.
Because usually I just fall the fuck apart after the bye week. Just completely fall apart.
Yeah, we've survived this far. And kids, we hope you have too. It's funny, on Twitter early this week after the Virginia game, I saw a lot of folks bitching about people complaining about the game. But I think that I may have just finally... like perfected my mute block strategy because I haven't seen it.
I didn't either. Weird.
My feelings on the Notre Dame fan base writ large are well established on this podcast, so we don't need to relitigate. But I think that people for the most part are enjoying this year. Remember when you were a little kid and it was almost Christmas time and maybe there was a box that was just a certain size that it could only be one thing, or they had the wrapping paper that was just too thin so you could see what it was if you just like pushed it up against the box. Well, I've got a little Christmas present under my tree already. That season win total over for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish cashed last week. And goddamn, it's a beautiful
I have it at 9. I got to get one more.
It was expensive, but that 8.5 already came through. And damn, it feels good. You know, we said coming into the year, nine wins feels easy. It would be just fucking silly to lose either one of these last two games. We are going into what are pretty objectively the worst two games on the schedule. So you know what? Kids, kick back. Get yourself a tasty beverage. You know, we talked about it's fall time. Make yourself some chili, a nice stew. I don't know, whatever you like. Get your warm, comfy pajama pants on and watch your Notre Dame Fighting Irish just beat the shit out of some bees. It's going to be a good time. I guess we will talk to you before Thanksgiving, so I'm not wishing you a goddamn thing this week. Except, as always, go Irish and hail Gambler.
All right, that'll wrap it up for us. Again, get on the podcast subscriptions. We only got a few more to go, y'all. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us at Discord over at herlittlesons.com/Discord. Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/herlittlesons. Only a couple sims left. And of course, you can always find us at our home at herlittlesons.com. As always, folks, let's have a good one. Let's go win these things. Go Irish, beat bees. Have a good one.